Hi,
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
To the survivors in the room, if you are willing, please stand. And if you are willing, please raise your hands if you have still not been able to meet with this Department of Justice. Please know for the record that every single survivor has raised their hand.
At a highly contentious congressional hearing, Attorney General Pam Bondi refuses to apologize for the Justice Department treatment of Epstein's survivors. We'll speak to two House members who sparred with Bondi, Pramila Jayapal of Washington and Becky Ballant of Vermont. Ballant walked out of the hearing after Bondi accused her of being anti-Semitic. Ballant's grandfather was killed in the Holocaust. But first, we look at President Trump's meeting with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and speak to the acclaimed Iranian director Jafar Panahi. Iranian authorities have arrested Mehdi Mahmoudian, who was just nominated for an Oscar for co-writing the screenplay of Panahi's film, It Was Just an Accident.
Following the massacre, 17 of us published a statement. And in that statement, we held Ayatollah Khamenei responsible for what had happened. Mehdi Mahmoudian was also one of the co-signers of that statement, and it was because of that that they arrested him.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. On Capitol Hill, Democratic lawmakers grilled Attorney General Pam Bondi on the Justice Department handling of the Epstein files. Democratic Congressmember Pramila Jayapal asked survivors who are sitting in the audience to stand up before she challenged Bondi to apologize to them for the Justice Department failure to fully redact their names in the Epstein files. Bondi declined. Throughout the hearing, she insulted Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee and heaped praise on President Trump as she repeatedly dodged accusations she's perpetuating a cover-up and ignoring the victims. This is part of an exchange between Bondi and New York Democratic Congressman Member Jerry Nadler.
So I really have just one question for you. How many of Epstein's co-conspirators have you indicted? How many perpetrators are you even investigating?
First, you showed it. I find it.
How many have you indicted?
Excuse me. I'm going to answer the question.
Answer my question.
No, I'm going to answer the question the way I want to answer the question.
No, you're going to answer the question ridiculous. The way I asked it.
Chairman Jordan, I'm not going to get in the gutter with these people, I'm going to answer the question.
How many?
A Reuters photographer at the hearing captured images of Attorney General Bondi with a printout of Congressmember Jayapal's history of searches of the Justice Department's database of the Epstein files, which was just open to Congress members to review. Congressmember Jayapal blasted Bondi on social media, writing, quote, "It's totally inappropriate and against the separations of powers for the DOJ to surveil us as we search the Epstein files." Bondi showed up today with a burn book that held a printed search history of exactly what emails I searched. That is outrageous, and I intend to pursue this and stop this spying on members, unquote. We'll speak with Congressmember Jayapal later in the broadcast, as well as Vermont Congressmember Becca Ballant. She walked out of the hearing after Bondi accused her of being anti-Semitic. Congressmember Ballant's grandfather died in the Holocaust. President Trump held a private meeting at the White House for nearly 3 hours on Wednesday with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. After the discussions, Trump said nothing definitive had been decided. His visit came just days after U.S. and Iranian officials held indirect talks in Oman amidst Trump's persistent threats to once again bomb Iran. It was Netanyahu's sixth trip to the United States since Trump retook the White House just over a year ago. We'll have more on Netanyahu's visit after headlines with Middle East analyst Muin Rabbani. We'll talk about Iran, about Israel, about the occupied territories. Israeli President Isaac Herzog has wrapped up a four-day visit to Australia, where he was met by widespread protests. Thousands of demonstrators gathered in Melbourne today, following protest marches in the capital Canberra and Sydney. Protester Greg Hunt said Herzog was the wrong person to provide comfort to Australia's Jewish community after a pair of gunmen opened fire on Hanukkah celebration last December, killing 15 people.
I understand the idea of giving comfort to the Israeli people after the atrocity that they suffered at Bondi, but that doesn't excuse an invitation to someone who, as I've got on the sign here, a sign of bomb to drop on Gazans. And that's just beyond the pale. And Elvo should have known better. He really should have.
In Pennsylvania, masked federal agents forced their way into a home in Eagleville on Monday, terrorizing a family sleeping inside that included two children aged 8 and 13. Lupe Lopez, who lives at the home, recorded video as the agents battered down her door. The video shows Lopez was held at gunpoint as the masked agents search for her 26-year-old cousin, a Mexican national with an expired visa. Lopez appealed to the agents to leave her home.
Why do you do this? Why do you break my families apart? Why? You don't have kids? You don't have a family? Why do you do this? Do you think this is okay? I know you feel something.
In Minnesota, St. Paul Mayor Kalee Herr has renewed her call for an end to Operation Metro Surge and for over 2,000 federal agents to leave the Twin Cities after a car crash involving federal agents Wednesday sent one person to the hospital and damaged several vehicles. Meanwhile, human rights lawyers who visited the Whipple Federal Building in Minneapolis said immigrants jailed there are continuing to be denied access to legal counsel. In court declarations filed Wednesday, the lawyers said people arrested by ICE were provided with the wrong phone numbers for legal services and that ICE agents gave no privacy to people calling lawyers in violation of attorney-client privilege. Here in New York, ICE acknowledged in federal court this week that it's been jailing immigrants on a second previously undisclosed floor at 26 Federal Plaza in Manhattan. The disclosure came after a judge last summer ordered the Trump administration to address squalid, unsanitary conditions and prolonged confinement in overcrowded rooms at 26 Federal Plaza, not designed for overnight stays. New body cam footage and emails have been released, revealing new details about how a federal immigration agent shot U.S. citizen Marimar Martinez 5 times in Chicago last October. The footage shows Border Patrol agents in their vehicle with weapons drawn and fingers on the triggers, as Martinez can be heard honking her car's horn in the background to alert neighbors about the presence of federal agents.
All right, it's time to get aggressive and get the fuck out.
Shortly after the incident, Gregory Bovino, who was leading the Trump administration's mass deportation campaign at the time, emailed the agent, quote, "In light of your excellent service in Chicago, you have much yet left to do," exclamation point twice. Martinez's attorneys said Wednesday they'll seek tens of millions of dollars in damages under the Federal Torts Claim Act. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, abruptly closed the airspace around El Paso, Texas, late Tuesday and reopened it hours later after Customs and Border Protection officials reportedly fired an anti-drone laser shared by the Pentagon without providing FAA officials enough time to manage the risks to commercial flights. According to the New York Times, immigration officials thought they were targeting a drug cartel drone, but it turned out to be a party balloon. Democratic Senator Jack Reed, who sits on the Armed Services Committee, said, quote, "The conflicting accounts coming from different parts of the federal government only deepen public concern and raise serious questions about coordination and decision making," unquote. The House of Representatives has approved a bill that seeks to repeal President Trump's declaration of a national emergency to impose punitive tariffs on Canada. Six Republicans joined nearly all Democrats in supporting the resolution, which appears to have enough support to pass the Senate. President Trump signaled he's prepared to veto the bill and plans to punish defectors. Trump wrote on social media, quote, "Any Republican in the House or the Senate that votes against tariffs will seriously suffer the consequences come election time, and that includes primaries," Trump wrote. President Trump accepted the Washington Coal Club's inaugural award on Wednesday, declaring him the, quote, "undisputed champion of beautiful, clean coal," unquote. Trump accepted the award, a statue of a coal miner from Peabody Energy president and CEO Jim Gretsch, during a White House event where Trump announced he directed the Pentagon to purchase electricity from coal-fired plants and said he'd asked the Energy Department to provide $175 million in federal funds for upgrades at several U.S. coal plants.
I've saved 74 coal power plants from crushing restrictions and closures that would have been forced to shut down in the very immediate future. And today I'm proud to announce that the Tennessee Valley Authority has taken action to save two major coal plants in Tennessee. Tennessee Valley Authority.
In response, the Natural Resources Defense Council wrote, quote, "While Americans are demanding clean, affordable energy, the Trump administration's using our tax dollars to prop up the nation's dirtiest, least efficient power plants. It's no wonder fossil fuel lobbyists are handing Trump an award today," unquote. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has fired program manager Alexis Goldstein for documenting a meeting last year between the agency and Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. That's according to emails obtained by Bloomberg News. In a statement to Bloomberg, Goldstein said, quote, "CFPB is illegally retaliating against me for trying to do my job. I acted to protect the sensitive data of Americans and the trade secrets of some of the nation's largest banks and financial institutions from being accessed by individuals from DOGE without CFPB credentials and required training," unquote. To see our past interviews with Alexis Goldstein, go to democracynow.org. An Argentina Senate has approved a sweeping new labor bill pushed by far-right President Javier Milei. The bill would curb the right to strike, allow companies to more easily fire people, and curtail severance payments. It comes as thousands of workers mobilized by trade unions gathered in central Buenos Aires, clashing with police on Wednesday. This is Mario Manrique with the Auto Industry Workers Union.
What's being presented as labor modernization is exactly the opposite. This labor reform that the government is proposing is a compilation of all the reforms they've tried to pass in Argentina. And the only thing they're looking for is Argentina to become a cheap labor hub in the world, as unfortunately happens in other regions.
A And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Coming up at a highly contentious congressional hearing, Attorney General Pam Bondi refuses to apologize for the Justice Department's treatment of Jeffrey Epstein survivors. We'll speak to two House members who sparred with Bondi, Pramila Jayapal of Washington and Becca Vallant of Vermont. Stay with us.
I was dreaming, in my dreaming, well of an aspect bright and fair. In my sleeping, it was broken, but my dream, it lingered near. In the farm of shining valleys, where the pure air rarefied, and my senses newly opened, I awaken into the cry that the people have the power to redeem the work of fools upon the meek. The grace is shower. It's decreed the people rule. People have the power. People have the power.
People have the power, by Patti Smith, performing at Democracy Now!'s 20th anniversary. On February 23rd, Democracy Now! Will be celebrating our 30th anniversary at the same historic Riverside Church here in New York City. Among the people who will be performing, the jazz legend, we will be speaking with Wynton Marsalis. He will be performing. Also, Michael Stipe, the singer, songwriter, and activist. Hooray for the riffraff. Angela Davis will be joining us, as will Naomi Klein. We'll also hear from the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, Mousab Aboutoha, and the Nobel Prize laureate will join us, Maria Ressa. That's February 23rd at Riverside Church. For tickets and more information about our 30th anniversary, you can go to democracynow.org. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. On Capitol Hill, Democratic lawmakers sparred with Attorney General Pam Bondi over the Justice Department's handling of the Epstein files. Bondi repeatedly refused to answer questions and personally attacked the Democrats on the committee. This is part of the exchange between Bondi and Democrat Jerry Nadler.
I really have just one question for you. How many of Epstein's co-conspirators have you indicted? How many perpetrators are you even investigating?
First, you showed it. I find it.
How many have you indicted?
Excuse me. I'm going to answer the question.
Answer my question.
No, I'm going to answer the question the way I want to answer the question.
No, you're going to answer the question the way I asked it.
Chairman Jordan, I'm not going to get in the gutter with these people, but I'm going to answer the question.
How many?
Attorney General Pam Bondi went on to claim the Trump administration has been the most transparent presidency.
This administration released over 3 million pages of documents, over 3 million. And Donald Trump signed that law to release all of those documents. He is the most transparent president in the nation's history. And none of them ask Merrick Garland over the last 4 years one word about Jeffrey Epstein. How ironic is that? You know why? Because Donald Trump, the Dow right now is over, the Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about.
She was talking to New York Congressmember Jerry Nadler, but referred to Raskin, the ranking member of the committee, Jamin Raskin, the congressmember from Maryland. A number of Jeffrey Epstein survivors attended the House hearing. Democratic Congressmember Pramila Jayapal of Washington addressed the survivors during the hearing.
To the survivors in the room, if you are willing, please stand. And if you are willing, please raise your hands if you have still not been able to meet with this Department of Justice. Please know for the record that every single survivor has raised their hand. Attorney General Bondi, you apologized to the survivors in your opening statement for what they went through at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein. Will you turn to them now and apologize for what your Department of Justice has put them through with the absolutely unacceptable release of the Epstein files and their information?
Congresswoman, you sat before Merrick Garland sat in this chair twice.
Attorney General
Twice.
Bondi,
no, okay, can
I'm going to
finish my answer.
No, I'm going to reclaim my time because I asked you a specific question that I would like you to answer, which is, will you turn to the survivors? This is not about anybody that came before you. It is about you taking responsibility for your Department of Justice and the harm that it has done to the survivors who are standing right behind you and are waiting for you to turn to them and apologize for what your Department of Justice has
done. Members get to ask the questions. The witness gets to answer in the way they want to answer it. Attorney General
That's
respond.
Not accurate, Mr. Chairman.
Because she doesn't like the answer.
Time. So, Mr. Chairman,
why
I have asked
didn't she ask Merrick Garland this twice?
I'm reclaiming my time,
my
and when I
will
reclaim
continue
my time,
to answer.
I'm Mr. Chairman, the gentlelady has reclaimed her time.
I'm not going to get in the gutter for her theatrics.
What a massive cover-up this has been and continues to be. Donald Trump made the release of the Epstein files the center of his political campaign because he thought it would benefit him. Then you got into office, Attorney General, claimed to have a client list,
regular
only to
order.
Then say that there was no list. Your deputy,
time,
Todd Blanche, met alone with Ghislaine Maxwell
the time
and
the has expired
her to a minimum security prison. And now you continue
the
cover-up,
and
I
has
wish
expired.
That you would turn around to the survivors who are standing right behind you and on a human level
Chairman,
apologize
now recognizes the chairman
on what you have done.
Democratic Congressmember Pramila Jayapal questioning Attorney General Pam Bondi. At the hearing, Bondi appeared to have a printout of Congressmember Jayapal's history of searches of the Justice Department's database of the Epstein files, which the Department of Justice just opened to Congress members. Photos from the hearing show Bondi with a black binder that shows the words Jayapal Pramila search history and a list of documents whose members line up with the with the number of Epstein files. Congressmember Pramila Jayapal joins us now from Washington, D.C. There is so much to talk about here. Why don't you start off with this burn book? What on earth was she looking at that this Reuters photographer caught as you were speaking?
Amy, good morning. It's good to be with you. What she had was a printout of the search history when I went to the Department of Justice annex to look at the supposedly unredacted Epstein files. And in that room where there are only four computers and there were two people monitoring everything we did, they had to log you in. And apparently they logged you in with separate IDs and logins so that then Pam Bondi could go back and look at exactly what you searched, which is a violation of the separation of powers between the DOJ and Congress, the administration and Congress. And essentially, they were spying on us. She had that printout in her burn book. I don't know how she intended to use it
I don't know if she had it on every member, but I have already begun working on changing the protocol, working with Jamie Raskin and others as well on this, to change the protocol, because the Department of Justice should not be able to spy on us. We should be able to look at those files without anybody knowing what we searched and without that being used against us in some way. It's certainly not going to stop me from continuing to review the files, but it is absolutely outrageous. And it has to stop, and we need a new procedure.
Congressmember Jayapal, can you explain how you actually do search these files? Where do you go? Yeah. What is the scene? Why do they are they able to track you?
Well, you go to an annex of the Department of Justice, and there's a small room there, and I mean small. There's four computers set up there. You have to get logged in by a Department of Justice person. You have to make an appointment ahead of time. And because there are so many members that want to see those files, you know, sometimes you only get an hour and a half. I actually spent almost 2 hours there. But for each search, it's a huge set of files. And so it's most effective if you search by document number. And that means you have to know what document numbers you're looking for. You can search by keywords, which I also did, but it is much more difficult because if you search by a keyword, you may get, you know, 10,000, 15,000 documents. I will tell you, Amy, that even though those are supposed to be unredacted that we're looking at, only some of the files are unredacted. There are documents that are uploaded perhaps from the FBI that maybe Kash Patel had redacted, maybe the FBI had redacted before that, maybe attorney generals had redacted. The Department of Justice was supposed to unredact those. We are supposed to have access to everything unredacted, but that is not the case. So even when you go into the supposedly unredacted document, you find big redactions. I also tried to access some attachments that looked very important and had lists of co-conspirators. I could not get those attachments. They were not on the email. They were not available to us. And so it's a very painstaking process to search these. And there's also a lot of information we still don't have within the files that have been released, not to mention the 50% of files that still haven't even been released in violation of the law.
And can you explain the question about why co-conspirators were redacted? I mean, you had late night comic Jimmy Kimmel after she said we have the most, you know, every other few minutes she was talking about President Trump being the greatest whatever and the most transparent president in history. And then he asked, Kimmel asked then exactly why was his name taken out, redacted like 1,000 times. That was Trump, that is. But explain who the co-conspirators are. You had Massey, for example, the Republican Congress member, saying why did they redact Lex Wexner's name and exactly who he is, his significance, the former head of Victoria's Secret and Limited.
Yes, that's right. And I started my questioning by putting up two posters behind me. One was an example of a victim list. It was titled Victim List, and there were 32 names on that list, and only one was redacted. And the law requires that all the victims' names are redacted. Clearly, that was not just a mistake where they missed the list. It was titled Epstein Victim List, and one name was redacted. So that was intentional. On the other side, there was an email from a name that was redacted. Actually, it was from Jeffrey Epstein to a name that was redacted. And that one was about a torture video. And that name of a predator was redacted. And so only because members of Congress demanded to unredact that name did we find out that it was a sultan who had ties to Donald Trump's financial businesses and ties to Donald Trump's personal advisor, Steve Bannon. That name was redacted. And so I asked her, how is it that you can have these two violations of the law? And of course, you know, she didn't want to acknowledge it. But that was the moment when I turned to her and asked her to turn to the survivors and apologize, because so much of their personal information was put out there, contact numbers, addresses, names, even nude photographs. And Jane Doe's, who were in the files, whose identity had been kept secret for 10, 20 years through these investigations, they were suddenly outed. And you were finding Epstein victims who were explaining to their families for the first time that they were part of this giant sex trafficking ring. So on every level, this was outrageous. But I also think, Amy, that it was intentional to not redact survivors.